Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Halloween morning, Wednesday, October the 31st. And we will share some ghost stories this hour, stories of hauntings and the unexplained. Is this all bunk as far as you're concerned, or do you believe in ghosts? Have you ever been in a home you considered haunted? We want to hear from you as we talk with a guest who works with a paranormal research group in Wisconsin who tries to prove or disprove alleged paranormal activity. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you believe in ghosts or not? Do you have a good ghost story to share? We want to hear from you. Our guest is Karen Colasa, Public Relations Specialist and Research Head of the Greater Milwaukee Paranormal Research Group. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So are you a Ghostbuster?
Well, I guess you can kind of just say more of a researcher. We really don't try to get rid of ghosts, as maybe the movies may depict, but it's more just for research concerns.
Yeah. What exactly is paranormal activity?
Well, at least my definition, and I don't know about anybody else in the group, but in my opinion, paranormal is something that just can't be explained. It might be in the basis of either noises or activity that, you know, there's no logical explanation for why it may have occurred.
Yeah. How long have you been doing this?
Well, I've been interested in it ever since I was probably around 8 or 9 years old, but I've only been part of the Milwaukee Paranormal Research Group since about February. I had recently moved down to the Milwaukee area, and I'd always wanted to become a member of some type of group that goes out and does the research. And it was, in my opinion, it was one of the best ways for me to probably go out and try to socialize with people who had the same type of ideas and beliefs as me, but also to try to open my mind a little bit to other people's ideas and views on the paranormal as well. Because from where I was at, I was from a small town from up north. No one ever really talked about that.
Yeah. So, what do you believe?
Well, pretty much, at least from my standpoint, I've had personal experiences where there's been activity or instances that I just couldn't explain. And I believe that there are, as people might call it, ghosts, or as some people may just call, you know, spirits walking the earth or just living in homes. From that standpoint, I do believe that there is a possibility, but why that's a possibility, that I'm not sure of, which is partially why I'm in the group, is to try to explain that.
Yeah. Give us an example. Maybe it's a universal example of some sort of activity that that you have experienced.
Yeah, no problem. My first experience probably happened when, like I said, about 8 or 9 years old. My mother was a caretaker at our local church up north. And, I was playing the piano when she was cleaning the one time. And, I kept hearing screaming out in the sanctuary. I kept hearing it over and over, and I kept thinking, well, this is weird. So I asked my mom if, you know, it was her as a possibility, and she said no, and that I might have just been hearing things. But when I went back to play piano, I kept hearing it. Over the course of probably 5-plus years after that, I would have other experiences where I would also hear conversations in Sunday school rooms that I know that it was only me and my mother in the church at the time, and I would think it was really kind of odd that I would hear that. But then also one time I went to go up one particular staircase, and I kept hearing footsteps going up the stairs, and I know my mother was on the other side of the church, and she wasn't anywhere near it. So I had no idea where that even happened. So, that mostly got my interest into it.
So let's say, someone calls you to say, I'm hearing footsteps in my house and screaming in my attic. What do you do?
Well, first off, we decide as a group if it's something that we should look into. And mostly if it deals with children, we'll put it on a priority list because we don't want anything to happen to children in any case whatsoever. So mostly what we'll do is we'll go through an interview process with the client, ask them a bunch of questions, and then from those type of questions, we'll see if this is something that we'll want to pursue. And if it is something we'll pursue, then we'll bring in our equipment and all of our gear and tried to do a scientific investigation from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk about what that investigation entails after we check the weather. And I presume that if callers have interesting stories, you might have some contact information for them and you might consider investigating their paranormal activities.
Yeah, we could easily do that.
Yeah. We are talking with Karen Colata. I'm sorry, Colasa. She is with the Greater Milwaukee Paranormal Research Group, and we're talking about paranormal activity. Do you have a ghost story to share? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio on this Halloween morning, Wednesday, October the 31st. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock. Lots of Halloween-related programming for you today on the Ideas Network. Coming up after 11, Larry Mueller will talk with an author of the book Haunted Lakes about ghosts of the Great Lakes. That's after 11 today. Gene Faraca tells us the story, the cultural history of Frankenstein. And then we also have the Capitol Steps with their scary holiday special, Politics Takes a Holiday, the Halloween special, at 5:30 this afternoon. So that and more coming your way on this Halloween. We are talking about the paranormal this hour and welcoming your stories of ghosts and spirits and things that go bump in the night. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is with the Greater Milwaukee Paranormal Research Group, which is a group that goes out to investigate hauntings and other paranormal activity to see if there's any way to prove or disprove something like this. And again, we welcome your thoughts and questions for her, Karen Colasa. And so what does an investigation entail, Karen?
Well, pretty much what we do is we go into the person's home and we set up our equipment. And usually our equipment consists of infrared cameras. We use two of them at this point, but we are trying to financially find two more. And then also from that, we also take photos, we do digital voice recording, and then we also try to do, just try to feel around and see what the place feels like. And mostly what we do is we go in, we set up our equipment, we go room to room, just get a feel, take photos, sit and do electronic voice phenomenon sessions, or EVPs as the field calls it. And mostly what those are is if you just talk on a voice recorder and if you don't hear anything and then listen to the recording later and hear something that might not have been there, that's a potential evidence, piece of evidence for paranormal activities. And what we, I mean, the last investigation we did probably lasted about 2.5 hours. It was very simple. I mean, we went from room to room kind of quickly, but I mean, it's a little bit of a process. It could take a couple hours. It could take 5 hours.
Mm-hmm. So have you ever, I don't know, documented a vision or a sound or a something that that proved something?
Unfortunately, at this point, we haven't proven anything. We have potential evidence, but we would need to probably go back and do a follow-up investigation with the places that we've done. And unfortunately, due to confidentiality reasons, some of the locations we've done I won't be able to discuss at this time.
Mm-hmm.
But
are there any that that are happy to tout their potential hauntings that you have investigated?
Well, I'm not too sure what you mean by that. I'm sorry.
Okay, so the various businesses that that you've checked out that wanted you to check out don't want their names known.
Well, I mean, there are a few we can discuss. I mean, we've done the Brumder Mansion in Milwaukee. We've also done Shaker's Cigar Bar and also the White House Bar in Milwaukee. Mostly those we've gone out to try to seek, but from that standpoint, I mean, at least Brumder and Shaker's, we had gotten potential EVPs, and we're not exactly too sure what it could have been. I mean, it could have been something, but again, it's not something we can say it's concrete evidence to say something happened.
Mm-hmm. Let's take some calls. Dennis in Sister Bay is first. Hi, Dennis.
Boo.
Boo.
Good morning.
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 This is not a ghost story, but it certainly would qualify as quite paranormal. A number of years ago, I was a director of a program, and one evening I received a call from one of the interns in the program. She indicated to me that she felt somebody in my family had been seriously hurt. And as I was standing talking to her, I was looking at a collage of photographs on the wall of family members, and she proceeded to describe my sister-in-law to a T, blonde hair, injured cornea from a childhood accident, although she didn't put it in those terms, but she said, I see something wrong with her eye. 2 hours later, I got a call from my brother-in-law indicating that they had been involved in a rather serious accident. My sister-in-law was in the hospital in Peoria, Illinois. It was somewhat unnerving, to say the least, and I called other members of the program, and we gathered at my house to try to process what happened. This would be an example of precognition, I believe.
Yeah, something like that.
But it certainly seemed quite valid, the experience, to have somebody call and say, guess what, something bad has happened, and indeed it did. That was affirmed 2 hours later. Fortunately, my sister-in-law was okay eventually and is fine now.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. And certainly kind of eerie, but this isn't something that your group could really investigate, right, Karen?
No, I mean, it's something that, I mean, at least from my standpoint, I've been trying to research into the psychic world as well, and that's a possibility for that. And that's one aspect of our group that we actually haven't touched on. We haven't had a need for anybody with psychic abilities to come into an investigation. But there's also a chance that the individual that may have called you could have also been a sensitive or somebody who might just feel that there's something happening near in the future. So, I mean, it's something that our group is open to, but like I said, at this time, we haven't had a need for it just yet.
Yeah. Thank you, Dennis, very much for sharing your story. Sue in Bayfield. I'm sorry, Bayview. Go ahead.
Hi. We live in an old Victorian home in Bayview, and the family that built it, it was in the same family the whole time. And when we purchased the house, the old lady, she was really upset that she had to sell it, but we always heard kind of noises in it, but one night my daughter was maybe about 6 or 7 years old, and I was going upstairs to bed, and I heard this noise coming from her bedroom. And I says, oh, man, she's got the TV on again. And I open up the door, and all of a sudden, all the talking stopped. There was nothing.
Ooh.
So in the morning, I had said something to her. I said, you know, what's going on? I heard this noise in your room. She says, Mom, there's some guys that they just talk there. They don't do anything, but they're in that corner, and they just talk, and they have these old funny hats on and these old kind of raggedy jackets. So anyway, we had bought the house on a land contract. So when I had seen the lady, I asked her, I says, you know, this might seem strange, but, and I told her the story and what these guys look like with the mustaches. In the hair, she says, look at it, it's standing up on my arm. She says, that's my grandfather and my two uncles.
Hmm.
And even to this day, if I'm in the basement, I can hear, like, walking around upstairs or a rocker rocking. It's really weird.
Yeah, but they don't trouble you. You're not afraid of them?
Mm-mm. No, not at all. And my daughter said that they never bothered her, that just that they were in there talking.
Well, what do you think of that, Karen?
I think that's really interesting. And I mean, a lot of people usually think that family members might try to stick around just to make sure that everyone's being taken care of and looked after. I mean, that's a theory that the paranormal field actually has. And I mean, it would be something that if you'd be interested, I mean, our group could investigate it, not to like get rid of them or anything, but, you know, just to help you maybe understand what they're doing too, if they're still continuing their activity.
Yeah, tell us your contact information.
Yeah, our website is www.gmprg-wi.com. Or if you want to just email me direct, my email address is karen@gmprg-wi.com.
And you don't charge for your investigations?
No. No paranormal group probably should charge for their services because, again, I mean, it's a field that no one really understands, so why should you pay for something that you're not even sure of if it's going to be fruitful or anything?
Yeah. And all the people involved in your group are just people who have an interest in this? Do you have, I don't know, scientists and academics, or who's all in your group?
No. Actually, all of our members are just people from the greater Milwaukee area. We even have a few members out from the DeForest, Madison area. So, I mean, it's just a bunch of people who are interested in knowing about it. We have our skeptics. We have the people that are most serious into it, those that just have an interest in general to know maybe why they've experienced things the way they did when they were growing up.
Yeah, and you have mainly a journalism background?
Yes, that I do.
Yeah.
In journalism. So.
Next we go to Joshua in Geneva. Hi. Well, Joshua hung up on me right when we were going to go to him. Here, I'll tell you my story. I don't know if this is a common experience or not. It didn't happen to me. It happened to my nephew, who was just a little boy at the time, time of my father's death. My father was terminally ill, and we knew he was going to die. But my nephew, who was living in Kansas, and my father and was here in Wisconsin, reports that Grandpa came to say goodbye to him.
Okay.
And my sister she heard my nephew talking to someone and said, "Well, who are you talking to?" And he said, "That was Grandpa. He was here to say goodbye." So did you ever hear one like that before?
Actually, that was the point that while I was on break, I was thinking about how to talk about it. Yeah, actually, it is a possibility that that probably did happen because children are more sensitive to those type of natures because as we get older, we're conditioned to put those thoughts and ideas in the back door because it's unconventional for today's world in a way. And, I mean, because they're innocent. They don't know anything that's different. So, I mean, it is a possibility that, yeah, that may have happened. But, unfortunately, without any proven evidence, I mean, he could have just been talking to somebody or may have thought it. But, I mean, it is a possibility. My roommate, her niece, or I can't remember, niece or nephew, they've also talked to somebody who was in a house before. And it kind of worried his mother at the time and because they didn't know who it was. He just said it was the man in the closet that he would go and talk to.
Yikes. We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we welcome more of your ghost stories or stories of the paranormal. We are talking with the research head of the Greater Milwaukee Paranormal Research Group, Karen Kalasa, and we welcome your questions for her or your stories. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. A little bit of haunted house organ music for you this Halloween morning as we talk about haunted houses, ghosts, and other alleged paranormal activity in Wisconsin. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36 on this Halloween, Wednesday, October the 31st. We are talking with Karen Kalasa. She is Public Relations Specialist and Research Head of the Greater Milwaukee Paranormal Research Group, which investigates claims of the paranormal. We'll go out and investigate claims of hauntings at houses and businesses. and try to scientifically document whether this exists or not. We welcome your thoughts and questions for her and your ghost stories. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Christiane in Lake Mills is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. Happy Hi. Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
I just wanted to mention about a ghost or someone that I think lives in our bedroom.
Oh,
okay.
There was a couple years ago when I was pregnant. I was sleeping at night. I had 3 blankets on me. I know I wasn't cold. All of a sudden, out of a dead sleep, I wake up with the chills, shivering, freezing, touch my body, but it's warm, and then a really super chilly cold air right at my mouth, and then left. And I think this ghost just likes to, you know, torture us a little bit now and then, nothing really bad, but it's been shown, you know, showing itself around the house here and there.
Really? What does it show itself as? What does it look like?
I've never seen it. I just feel it.
Oh, you just feel the cold.
The cold, noises. I also think it smokes because there is a mysterious cigarette smoking smell at night.
Isn't that something? Any idea, any clue what's going on here, Christiane?
I've tried to find out about the past history of our house, and I know that I think at least 2 people have died in the house.
Okay.
I haven't been able to get a whole lot of detail. I'm not really afraid of it because I don't think it's trying to hurt us, but it does just make it interesting sometimes.
Well, what do you think of that, Karen?
I that's very interesting, and probably like what you're saying, like with the cold spots or whatnot. It's a theory that they say that they energies or entities or ghosts or whatever supposedly take the heat out of the air to try to gain energy for themselves to manifest themselves to the people that they're around. So I mean that's one possibility. As for trying to research on your house, I mean that's usually where my end comes into line. We usually just try to look up any information whatsoever from the beginning of the house to even who owned the property way back in whatever the 1800s. So if anything, I mean, there would be a chance that if you're interested, I mean, we can come out and try to help you look up a little bit more information about your house. That way you kind of have a little more idea of, like, maybe anybody has passed or whatnot. The smoking smell might have been something that they may have done in the past just to kind of show themselves. And I've heard of that before, that there might be a smell of cigarette smoke or whatnot. And I, like I said, I mean, it could have just been what the previous owner used to do.
Yeah, very interesting. So GMPRG, which is Greater Milwaukee Paranormal Research Group.
Correct.
-WI.com is your website.
Correct, yes. Mm.
Thank you, Christiane, for that story. I often hear about that cold draft, but I never heard the explanation that somehow the ghost is sucking the heat out of the room.
Right, and like I said, I mean, that's just a theory. I mean, there's no concrete evidence for that, but right. I mean, it is a good theory, if anything.
Tom in Viroqua, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. As a building thermographer who uses infrared thermography for identifying insulation voids and heat loss issues in houses, I'm interested in pursuing this technology a little further with you. I mean, it's true you can make sort of ghostly images with a thermographic camera fairly early, and the technology is certainly getting cheaper now. You can buy a fairly decent infrared camera for $6,000 or $7,000, which is far cheaper than they used to be. But I guess, you know, kind of where I'm going with this is this technology is available and it makes, you know, good impression. But I'm almost wondering if it's not like the, you know, the drunk under the spotlight or you know, if the only or under the streetlight, or the idea of the, you know, if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything begins to look like a nail. And so I'd like you to pursue further, you know, what kinds of images you see looking for paranormal things, and, you know, because, I mean, if you're, if you've already got two cameras and you're looking to buy a couple more, you're obviously finding some sorts of things. I'd like you to be a little more specific in terms of what kinds of, you know, images you actually see.
Yeah, that's not a problem. I mean, so far we, like I said, I mean, we haven't really caught much, at least visually. We usually in photographs see what people might call orbs or just white circles. And a lot of the time, these are considered dust or pollen or something that's an airborne particle that's in the air. So usually with those type of images, we just put on the side and we don't look at. But if it is, like, say, like a white object that looks like it's moving, that's a possible orb. But even then, we can't even consider an orb to be something that's related to paranormal activities. Because, at least in my opinion, it could just be a ball of energy that's moving, and that can come from appliances to anything else that's in the room. As for, like, with our infrared cameras, mostly what we just try to do is, if we're not in the room, we just want to make sure that we have all of our bases covered. And that's mostly why we also want to get two more, so we can set up in other areas as well. And usually with these type of images, I mean, we haven't, like I said, we haven't caught anything with them. But it's just a safety net in case of, like, something were to pass by or, say, like, an apparition or a visualization of a ghost walks through a room. That would be a good visual evidence that we can potentially show our clients. But, like I said, I mean, it's only a safety net for now, at least in the paranormal world. It's just to make sure everything is covered.
Thank you, Tom. Andrea in Lancaster. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Actually, as I was on the on hold here, I thought of another one of these incidents. But I'm calling with a story that kind of illustrates how there is probably a logical explanation for these things. My first one is it took place back in the spring of 1988. I was a student at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire at the time. I was on this foreign exchange program called Wisconsin and Scotland, so they'd ship over, you know, 80, 90 American students, and we'd be living in this old castle in Dalkeith, Scotland. And one day, it was a Saturday, I was with a few students up in the top of the castle in, I don't know, somebody's room. And anyway, I kept hearing this bagpipe music, and nobody else could hear it, and so I was getting a little bit flack about, ooh, you're hearing things.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was saying, you know, maybe it's a ghost, and so I was getting a little bit of flack that way, too. But it turns out that I just had better hearing than everybody else, because there was a rally of the Scottish National Party in Dalkeith that day, and they were playing bagpipes, and I just was the only one that could hear that well. And the other thing that I was remembering as I was on hold here was in 1992 when I bought my first house. A lady had just died there. It was an old farmhouse. The former owner had just died in the front room. And I was cleaning the place up. It hadn't been, I mean, it was a pretty dirty house. And upstairs was empty. And I kept hearing these crashes upstairs. And I'd go upstairs because it would sound like, you know, something had just fallen on the floor and there'd be nothing up there. It was completely empty. And I was really scratching my head about this, wondering what was going on and thinking, you know, I don't really believe in poltergeists, you know. What could this be? But I'm sure that there are a lot of people that are less skeptical who could have been thinking that there was, ooh, a poltergeist or something there. But it turns out we had a squirrel that had gotten into the house and built a nest between the floors.
Yeah, there's often could be a very simple explanation, Karen.
Usually what we also try to tell people is, you know, are you looking at what could be causing the problem? Because that's usually what we'll do, too, is we'll go in and try to just check out everything and, as we call it, debunk what the possibility is that could be causing the supposed activity. That's why most of the cases that any paranormal group comes up with aren't factual. So.
Our guest is Karen Kolasa. She is with the Greater Milwaukee Paranormal Research Group. And we're talking about alleged paranormal activity around Wisconsin, maybe even in your own house. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. About 13 minutes before 7 o'clock, coming up after 7, we'll talk about the so-called Frankenstein veto. The veto that Governor Doyle used once again in the state budget. We'll talk with a state lawmaker who's upset with this Frankenstein veto, and we'll find out what she wants to do about it. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. And then after 7:30, we will talk about whether sexism was involved in the ouster of Senate Majority Leader Judy Robson. That's coming up after 7:30. We're talking about ghosts during this hour and hauntings and other paranormal activity. We wonder if you believe in ghosts or have a good ghost story to share. Have you ever seen one? We want to hear from you as we talk with a guest from a paranormal research group in Milwaukee who investigates claims of the paranormal. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And we have a line open for you. Robin in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Robin. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I have two stories. One is my mother. It was a very interesting story. She was sleeping, my mother and father at home, sleeping together. And my mother, in the middle of a particular dream that she remembered, the dream was interrupted, and her father-in-law came into the dream and was dressed a certain way, and she remembered how he was dressed, and he said to her, "Hi, little professor," that's what he called her, "I just couldn't leave without saying goodbye."
Aww.
And then she woke up knowing or feeling very strongly that he had passed, told my father, who was the son of this man. And my father didn't believe her, so they went back to sleep, and the next morning they found out that he had passed, and they knew, they found out where and what he had had on, and that's what he had had on. So it was kind of an interesting story.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, and I've heard of instances like that as well. So.
Yeah, and that could, though, just be someone dreaming, and right, they happen, you know, maybe it was a coincidence, but it wasn't necessarily a visitation. It was somebody who dreamt that.
Right. Well, I mean, it's also could be kind of like a mini premonition, though, as well.
Right. Yeah, and what was your other story, Robin? No, and I mentioned the same story with my nephew. I think it is quite fascinating. Yeah.
Yes, the other thing that I've never fully understood was that during a period of time in my life, I'd say almost 2 years, I suddenly had a capacity to experience life on a different level is what it felt like, where I was seeing beings readily. I was experiencing everything as vibrating. You know, when I'd look at objects, they would be vibrating. When I looked at people, they looked totally different. Their bodies looked like clay moving, and their eyes looked very, very alive. And there were just, you know, a lot of premonitions, a lot of things like that. But it only lasted about 2 years, and it slowly peaked, and then it slowly went away. And it was interesting because years later I did meet someone who was describing the same exact thing to me. And
How old were you?
I'm 56.
Okay, and when you had this happen, how old were you at the time?
I was in my 20s.
Okay.
Now, what's the significance of the age, Karen?
Like I said, I mean, it kind of goes along with, like, the child thing. I mean, we're open to the ideas of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that could have been a possibility, and maybe, did you kind of fear the idea of this as well?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It was shocking. It was very shocking, and I had a hard time. In fact, what helped me and what made it even more odd was whoever I was with could experience what I was experiencing, which made it real to me more than if I would have been alone, it would have been even more difficult for me to handle.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if you got older, if maybe you just kind of tried to push this aside. So, because, I mean, usually that's what we try to do is if anything frightens us, we try to put it in the back of our minds so we don't worry about it. So maybe that's why you got out of it as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Robin, very much for the call. Is that typical that if somebody is hearing, the footsteps or the creaking doors, and that everybody in the house is hearing it?
That I'm not too sure. I mean, it's like with me, at least in my apartment, because it's something that I'm still doing. I mean, I've been here for a year in my apartment, and there's been things that I can't explain, and there have been instances that I've heard, but my roommates haven't. But, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a possibility for a logical reason for that, too. And, like, the one caller, she said, her hearing might have been more sensitive, and that's a possibility as well.
Mm-hmm. Nancy in Connersville. Hi, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I lived in a very old farmhouse over in the Grafton area for 7 or 8 years. This is many years ago. And the bedroom was up on the second floor, and it was a beautiful old house with big windows and sort of crepey drapes and things. And I would sometimes wake up in the night and hear sort of a party going on downstairs. I'd hear music. I'd hear laughter. I'd hear, fun things going on. And it never bothered me. I just thought, well, you guys are here. That's okay. Just have a good time. And nothing ever happened, but there was only one time when I felt that somebody came upstairs, and I was facing the wall laying down, and I just woke up, and there was just a feeling of somebody being behind me or standing behind me, and I decided not to turn over, and I just said, well, it's okay that you're here. I'm glad. Why don't you just go back down to the party and continue on, and that's really all there was, but it was kind of a fun thing. Every once in a while, there'd be a party going on.
My goodness.
It was kind of a fun time.
I'm sorry. Did you notice that there was kind of like a reoccurring like time that this would happen?
I didn't really note the time frame. It was something that probably happened during the 7 years that I was there. It probably happened maybe, 8 to 10 times.
Okay.
But it didn't, I didn't record it. I didn't make any note of when it happened or on what nights or if it was a full moon or, any of that kind of stuff.
Help me understand, Nancy. I would have been, running from the house screaming if I was hearing that and felt the presence behind me. Why didn't that frighten the bejesus out of you?
I don't know. I lived alone at the time, and I just, it didn't. I guess I've been comfortable with spirits, with the idea of spirits and the idea of, I didn't call them ghosts. I think they're more just spirits, and there are people who whose spirits are still alive. They just don't have a body to be in, and I think they're all among us all the time, and I guess I don't have a problem with that.
Karen Colasa?
And I can see that as well, and it depends also on the type of, at least in the paranormal world, we're kind of looking at all the different types of potential hauntings. I mean, and in your case, it could have either been a residual haunting where it's kind of like a recording that it happens over and over and over, and it's the same pattern. So I don't know if maybe that's the instance that you had, but it could have also been an intelligent haunting is where, they know that they're deceased, but they interact with the living. And that's a possibility, too. I mean, in the case of the energy feeling in your room, maybe. So...
Yeah. Nancy, thanks for the call. Dawn in Onalaska. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. A story I have is I had gone with my sister up to Virginia, down south, even though we weren't down there too, but that southern area, they have what I have been told are a high frequency of ghosts, because they say it's due to the Civil War and some people dying in the painful deaths and stuff like that. So they're saying they're tormented. But we were in an old motel, and we had, and like I said, my sister had been down south for about 10 years, and she had different stories about different places she had been in and stuff happening, with cabinets opening up and stuff, and stuff flying off the refrigerator. But when we were at this place, we had fallen asleep, and we were both in two single beds, and we're sleeping, and then it felt like when you're laying down that someone was, people were walking across the foot of our bed to get to the other side of the room. And I'd look up, and I wouldn't see anything. And I asked her, like, did you feel that? She goes, yeah. She goes, oh, it's just ghosts. Don't worry about them. She just took it so lightly. And I just tried to rationalize it. Like, okay, this cannot be happening. So I was laying there, and you could still feel it. It felt exactly like it felt when she had walked across the foot of my bed to go to the bathroom. It was just like if you had your eyes closed, you would swear someone was walking across the footy bed, and they did that for, hey, I don't know, maybe it was one person or a couple people or whatever. I was safe for a good hour, and then it quit. And,
wow.
You know, I guess that's the rationale that they figure these people were so tormented, you know, because they had such a, mm-hmm. a painful passing, but... it made a believer out of me, that's for sure.
Well, you're making a yeah. believer out of me, too. But how would you investigate that, Karen?
Like I said, I mean, we'd probably set up our equipment. And what we would probably do is lay in the bed and just see if we would experience the same thing. And unfortunately, personal experiences can't be used as evidence for saying it's haunted. I mean, that's why we try to capture things either visually or digitally on recordings. But mostly, I mean, that's probably what we would do is try to either take pictures or videotape it, take our digital voice recordings, and just see if we have an experience with it.
Yeah. Well, it's been fun, and lots of people still have ghost stories to share. So your contact information is, again, your website is gmprg-wi.com.
Correct.
All right. Thanks a lot for being with us.
All right. Thank you.
Karen Kolasa is Public Relations Specialist and Research Head of the Greater Milwaukee Paranormal Research Group. Thanks to Keisha Mabra for producing this hour, and thanks to Leo Duran and Cheryl Gasser for on-air production. Thank you for listening and sharing your stories. Hope you have a happy Halloween. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.